Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. It's a special show tonight. None of my co-hosts are with me, neither Graham Ewing or Chris O'Shea or Michael McCarthy. Nobody, but I have guests tonight. That's why it's a special show, because my guests are one of my favorite type of shows, because I love taxes and tax planning. But these guys do legal tax controversy. That's when you're in a tussle with the IRS. That's a good way to put it, a tussle with the IRS. And they want a lot more money out of you, and you don't have it, or you don't feel you owe it, or whatever the case may be. And Glenn Frost and Eli Knopf of the Frost Law Firm, that's what they handle. They come in with big tax cases and help them to resolve the issue with the IRS to the taxpayer's best interest, if it is even possible. And you always hear these stories, guys, of people who owe hundreds of thousands of dollars and they paid pennies on the dollar to the IRS. And, do you guys do that, or is that just a bunch of phony baloney advertising?
In the right circumstances, it can work out that way. We've certainly had results that work out that way.
Absolutely. And thanks for having us back again, Drew. We appreciate it. But certainly, if the stars align, and the income and assets are in the right place for the taxpayer, it could be possible to settle a major tax liability for pennies on the dollar.
But there are people out there who use that kind of marketing and advertising and make it actually sound like it's a scam. But that's not what a good law firm like yours does.
Correct.
That's correct. And offers in compromise do not work for everybody. You know, there's multiple tools in the tool belt, and you have to choose the ones that are right for that client.
Right. And there are times when, you know, the reason the person owes a lot of money is because of all the interest and penalties that have piled up over years and years and years. You know, the IRS is going back on. And you may be able to get them to relieve some of those penalties that will now drop it down to 30 cents on the dollar or 40 cents on the dollar, because the IRS is really interested in collecting what you owed them plus whatever reasonable interest they can.
Right. So the way you think about it is what's called RCP, reasonable collection potential. And I won't bore your listeners too much with the details, but essentially offers tend to favor individuals who have significant tax liabilities and low income and assets. The IRS will say, well, what's your income currently? What kind of assets do you have? And then they'll make a determination based on a formula, a very principled approach for the most part, of what that offer should be. And that's how the IRS looks at settling a debt.
So now you guys told me, we're at the beginning of the show, you guys told me that you'd be willing to talk with anybody who wants to ask some general questions about some tax controversies they may be having, and you may be able to help them, give them some general advice. And later we'll tell them how to get in touch with you at your law firm if they really need specialized help and so forth. But, you know, this is a big deal, because there's how much money is owed to the IRS. Do you have a general number of that? I hear it's in the hundreds of billions.
I tend to agree with you. I don't have an exact figure on that, but it's fairly significant.
Yeah, and there's quite a few issues. What are some of the big issues the IRS is I'll tell you what. Let's go to Rebecca and let's see what she has to ask before I get too close to mine. I have to take my first break, and then we'll come back to some of my general questions. Rebecca in Littlestown, now, would you like to ask my guest a question?
Yes, and thank you for taking my call. So
yeah.
What happens is I have a friend, and she's executive of an estate. Okay, she gave all the files to an accountant. Okay, he did an extension, and he has not paid the taxes yet. And I'm telling her that I basically thought that, like, at the end of October, you know, you have to pay the taxes. It's not just...
Now, are we talking about an estate income tax return, 1041?
Yeah, whatever. But I just told her, I said, you have to, if that person that died, that you're the executive, you have to pay the taxes by October. And that's what I thought it was.
Well, it's not necessarily true, but go ahead, Eli.
Well, I think if it's the 1040 tax liability for the decedent's final year, But taxes are due by April 15th, not the extended due date of October 15th. So taxes are due to be paid in general by April 15th.
Well, she lives in Pennsylvania, so it could be one of three things. It could be the last tax return of the decedent.
Correct.
It could be the 1041 for any income that the decedent made, the decedent's assets made after. But the other thing that's important, because she lives in Pennsylvania, could be the inheritance tax return that she's referring to. Do you have any general idea, Rebecca, as to which return you're talking about?
Yeah, it's really the basis of, like, she had the person made too much money on interest. So that's the story. It's not the person
interest on with. The last tax return for the decedent was filed. What year did they die?
Last year.
Okay, so it could be the decedent's last income tax return. And what time?
It was supposed to be filed in April 15th, but then the accountant did an extension, and I thought you only have like 3 or 4 months of an extension. I mean, you only
the extension takes her to October 15th.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, so that's she's still got a month and a half left to go to file that return.
Well, he's like hemming and hawing, and I thought, like, basically what happens is if the accountant does not do it after October 15th, she gets fined because she's the executor.
That is very possible if there are no assets in the decedent's estate to pay him, but I'm going to assume that the decedent had assets.
Right, but if she has not distributed the assets properly, she can get fined, right?
No doubt about it, right? The fiduciary responsibility of the PR. So,
and there's a failure to file penalty, which I believe you're referring to, for filing the tax return late, and that can be significant, up to 25% of the liability.
Now, there may be reasonable cause to get it abated.
That is true.
But she should consider moving on to a new accountant or... Obviously, the return needs to get done timely.
That's what I told her, but it's her responsibility. It's really not the accountant. That's what I've got the IRS form.
That's
they
true.
Blame her.
I got a roll, Rebecca, but good question. Very good. There's actually, we have an office in Gettysburg, which isn't far from Littlestown, and there's an accountant nearby in that area, and he files an extension for every client, and he doesn't finish the returns of every client until that last week or two of filing October. Last week or two of the first 15 days of October.
That's a tough spot to be in as an accountant.
You know, you talk about waiting until the last minute on everything. Yeah. This guy's a classic, you know.
Tough to do tax planning in that posture.
Anyway, I'm here with Eli Knopf and Glenn Frost of the Frost Law Firm. They work on tax controversies. They're dealing with big dollars and people who owe money to the IRS and helping them to come up with the best resolution. If you have a problem and you want to ask general questions, they're more than willing to help you. But right now, I've got to take a pause with traffic. I'm going to be right back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you can trust and help you through all stages of life? Having a team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs gives us the ability to help you prepare your tax return, strategize to help you minimize tax liability, help you visualize and reach your retirement goals, and help guide you in every other facet of personal financial planning. We demonstrate these abilities every Wednesday night on our radio show, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Have you been wanting a second opinion? Then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your financial physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE or go online to financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli here with Glenn Frost and Eli Knopf, and they are attorneys that work on tax controversy. What's tax controversy? That's when you owe the IRS a lot of money and you're in a tussle with them, and they're saying, you know, guys, we're going to send you to jail, or we're going to confiscate your bank accounts, we're going to confiscate your brokerage accounts, we're going to confiscate everything if you don't work this out with us. They hire somebody like Glenn and Eli to help them come in and work out a resolution. And, you know, you need to make sure you do it right with with the IRS. And there's a lot of ways the IRS is starting to hammer people to get the money that they owed, isn't there?
Right.
One of the big ones.
So passport revocation is a big one nowadays. So the IRS sends certification letters to taxpayers owing more than $52,000 who have had certain procedural rights that have passed. And to the extent you don't pay it off, you can be certified where your passport will not be renewed. Now, they've also threatened to revoke them. We haven't seen that happen yet, but I was at a conference recently, I believe it was in June or July, and the IRS announced it was coming, that revocations themselves actually...
Well, what's the difference between what they're doing that you can't use it and revocation?
So a certification in general, just to keep it pretty basic level, is the IRS sends the State Department a certification saying there's a tax liability with us. To the extent a passport is expired or needs to be renewed, don't renew it or don't issue one. So the certification traditionally up until now has been do not issue a new passport or do not renew an expired passport.
Ah.
And that's what has been happening largely until now. Now the IRS is starting to come and put the screws a little bit more, to particularly to individuals who've been ignoring the IRS and not coming into compliance and not remaining in compliance, where now the IRS is going to be revoking passports. And there's a letter that will be coming out, letter 6152, and that will actually be notice of revocation. So it's an...
It's hard for the average listener out there to hear you say that somebody who's not paying their taxes is traveling all over the world.
Right, right. And you know, unfortunately, it's not always ill intent on behalf of the taxpayers. They're business people. They're small business owners. They travel abroad for business reasons or to visit family, and they get stuck in this trap.
So, you know, so what are some of the common reasons that people owe thousands and thousands of dollars?
So on the individual side, a lot of what you see is people who are self-employed, they're at the startup phases of their business in the early years. They don't have the time, the finances initially to be able to hire an accountant and to really get organized, bookkeepers and set up properly. And what happens is they get caught up in this rut where they're fall behind on their taxes, tens and tens of thousands become six figures.
Are we talking about income taxes or are we talking about payroll taxes? I mean, which one of the taxes are they, you know, because our listeners, when they hear word taxes, all they think about is income taxes.
So a lot of times it's income tax. That's your form 1040 personal income tax. But a lot of times it can be payroll taxes. You operate a small LLC and you don't pay in, you don't remit the payroll taxes for employees. That's a big no-no to begin with, and you could be charged with a crime for doing so. I would encourage anybody who has payroll tax liabilities out there to come into compliance rather quickly. The name of the game with the IRS is coming into compliance and behavior modification. So that's the most important thing,
right?
Is draw a line in the sand.
So I had a small business owner about 3 or 4 years ago come to my house to do some work, and he's, you know, talking to me about what do I do, and I say, I mean, I'm a CPA, personal financial advisor, and he goes, oh, you know, I really need some help to figure out how to invest some money that I'm accumulating. And I said, well, where do you have it? And he goes, well, you know, I just pay my payroll taxes once a year. And in the interim, I've got all this money that I've accumulated. And I said, you know, buddy, that's totally illegal. You shouldn't be doing
that. And also very inefficient. The penalties and interest stack up fairly quickly.
But there's a lot of bad information out there that people get. Small business owners, you know, they're making, you know, revenues of $300,000-$500,000. They're construction guys, they're tree guys, they're whatever. And they're getting all this bad information from people thinking this is great tax planning.
The most important thing we tell our clients as soon as they come in with a payroll tax liability is come into compliance right away. Stop pyramiding liabilities, because if you do, that puts you in a really tough spot with the IRS.
Yeah, and with estimated tax payments with small businesses, they need to make them. And what we see is they don't make one, and it leads to two and three, and eventually it snowballs out of control. and what would have been a very small liability turns into a six-figure liability quickly.
Another area, I'm sure, where you see some of this problem coming in is with these really, unscrupulous accountants who do tax preparation and they forge all the itemized deductions, and the taxpayer signs the return, sends it in, figuring, hey, this guy's great. This is the greatest. I had a client do that to me. He said, Drew, my brother-in-law is getting a lot more money back than you're getting me. I'm going to his accountant. And 3 years later, he came back to me. He goes, Drew, it turned out that that accountant was unscrupulous, and I now owe the IRS da-da-da-da-da. Can you help me? You know? So is this a problem?
It's a pervasive issue, and taxpayers and clients should look at their tax returns and review them carefully. Don't assume that the numbers in there are accurate off the bat.
Say that again, Eli. Say that again.
Review your tax returns. Because you signed it under penalties of perjury, the IRS is going to take the position that you have reviewed it. So I would review the tax return carefully and ensure the numbers are accurate. And look at the bottom of the page 2 of the Form 1040 where it says preparer's name. If it says self-prepared and you paid somebody to prepare it and they're not willing to put their reputation or name on that tax return, that should send an indication that they're trying to lay low.
Yeah, you know, we do a lot of tax returns for our clients, and it's amazing how many times I have to say to the client, did you review the return that we gave you before you signed that? And they go, well, no, we gave you all the information. We'd assume that it was correct. And I go, look, we need the cooperation together. You need to be watching what I'm doing, and I have people that are watching, checking the returns, but you need to do that final check for us. And it's amazing how many times we find that the clients just don't do it.
Yeah, I would caution taxpayers to look at their Schedule A, itemized deductions. Look carefully at the charitable contributions. That's a really hot item where preparers who are unscrupulous, like you said, will tend to put higher numbers than are actual.
Now, yeah. You know, another amazing thing is how many times the IRS will send money out to criminals who filed a return saying they're Glenn Frost, and they'll just send money out to them from your, as if it's you. I mean, are these guys, I shouldn't ask this question on the radio because they may be listening. You guys have to work with them. But what is their problem? Are they finally getting this under control?
We're seeing, obviously now with identity theft, there's identity theft codes that they can place on the account, which will...
But they'll only give it to you in certain circumstances. You can't ask for one.
Sure. So there we advise our clients to file as early as possible. Hopefully they beat the fraudster to the punch.
Yeah. And if not, they'll give you a PIN number that you have to use on your tax returns for a few years forward. It becomes a real hassle, and then your refunds are delayed for the years down the road.
I have noticed, though, this year especially, the IRS seemed to be... working, and sending letters to people saying, we got a return in your name, da-da-da-da-da. Was this really you? And sending it to the taxpayer's house. So I saw that they've actually started to do a little better job at this.
They're doing a lot better job at that. We have a lot of clients who are receiving those letters, and we have to, unfortunately, sometimes intervene and get an identity theft affidavit in to get a PIN number.
So when we come back, we want to talk about foreign accounts, because that's a hot topic too, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And prohibited transactions. Do you ever deal with that IRA or pension plan, prohibited transactions? And all of a sudden, boom, the IRS says your whole IRA or your whole pension is taxable after years and penalties.
Yeah. Self-directed IRAs are not always a good thing.
Self-directed. And there are a lot of people here on this radio station encouraging you to do real estate investing with your IRA accounts. And I just want to make sure our listeners understand the negative side as well as the positive side.
So many ways to mess it up.
Yeah, there are. We're going to go to traffic. We're going to take a pause. We're going to come right back with Money Rich and Wealth.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBN.
Hotel California. The Eagles. Two in a row. See, I know this stuff, but I just don't want you to know that I know it. Right, there you go. Did you guys know that? That's what this song was?
Absolutely.
Yes.
See, they lie like I do. Now, if he played Red Rubber Ball, I bet you wouldn't know that it was, or who did the song Red Rubber Ball, do you?
No, not really.
See, you know, The Circle, of course. Everyone knows that.
We're a little bit younger, Drew.
Don't mean to offend.
No offense taken, almost. So let's talk about some of the other areas where people can really get in trouble with the IRS. And one of the areas, and a lot of our listeners to the WCBM platform have, you know, people that are telling them, use your IRA, you make a lot of money, you buy real estate, you do all these big real estate deals, and you're not going to just make 2%, 3%, 4%, 5% in the stock market or annuities and all this kind of crazy. You're going to make 20%, 30%, 50% flipping houses and all this kind of good stuff. And it can work. There's no doubt about it. But it's not as simple as it sounds.
Yeah, it can work, but there are so many ways to mess it up.
It's called a prohibited transaction.
Prohibited transaction. So with the transaction like this, the taxpayer needs to be completely passive, where they're not using any of their personal labor to...
Well, wait a minute. You just ruined it for half of the people that are listening. You can't use your personal labor, Glenn?
Nope. You're supposed to hire a third party, an unrelated third party, to assist with all aspects.
Well, what if I've been, you know, doing flipping houses and I'm coming in doing all my own labor and the IRS isn't saying anything to me?
That's a prohibited transaction, and you might get a very large tax bill in the future.
But they're not saying anything to me, so why should I worry?
IRS comes at you years later.
What are some other ways you could flip the prohibited transaction equation for the IRS?
Not investing in a proper investment. There's different structures that are not allowed with inside of an IRA.
How about somebody who buys a real estate investment down in Florida, Naples, Florida, overlooking the Gulf of Mexico? They use Airbnb to rent it out, and they use it 1 or 2 weeks a year to go down there to check the place out and things like that. Is that legitimate?
No, you're not allowed to use it for personal purposes either.
Not even the 14 days that the law allows, Glenn? Come on.
Yeah. It's a pretty strict test.
I'm egging you on. I know the rules. It's a very strict test, isn't it? Prohibited transactions. And it does result in all the money becoming taxable.
Yeah, that's correct. And I've seen very few people over the years do it correctly. So when challenged by the IRS, you may have severe problems.
See, the IRS is sort of like a business, aren't they, right? So they have so much money they're paying their personnel, and they want to collect enough money to make it worth their while to send their people out to investigate, right?
Sure. And they have sophisticated programs and algorithms that generally, when they select returns for audit, they're identifying these issues in advance, and they hone in on the big issues.
And the way they do this is they look for the trust companies that are doing IRAs, real estate deals, and like Sterling Trust and people like that that are doing these. And then they look for their 5498s, where there's lots of money in those accounts, like hundreds of thousands and millions. And they say, you know, let's check this out, see if they have any real estate deals out there. Mm-hmm. Right? You see this?
That's correct. And I even see situations where the real estate doesn't get properly titled. It has to be titled in the name of the IRA. It's still titled in the name of the individual. There are so many different ways that you can mess one of these transactions up.
Can you give a general story of something you guys have seen before that was a mess that you had to work out?
It's hard to talk about any specifics, but, you know, a lot of times you do see people foul up these rules. I would say that anybody who's going to go ahead and do a self-directed IRA, for example, hire a competent advisor, listen to what they're saying, listen to what they're telling you, because ultimately when the IRS does examine you, it's not going to be pretty with the penalties and interest on top of it.
So now, you know, another area is foreign bank accounts, foreign investments, et cetera, et cetera. I remember reading a story about a lady who was from a doctor from India, and she was about 45 years of age, and she was a doctor, and her father died, and when he died, she found out that he had built a trust that he put her name on, and he built built a lot of money up in this foreign trust for her. Now he's passed away. It's her trust now, but it was always her trust in the past. When the IRS found out about it, they said that the penalty was $1 million more than the $2 million that was in the trust because she never disclosed that she had a foreign trust, even though she didn't know she had a foreign trust.
So that's a good area you bring up, Drew. International tax enforcement has been very attractive to the IRS ever since
they've got... Very profitable for you, too.
Very profitable as well. But it's been a big area of enforcement for the government ever since Swiss banking has been cracked. Swiss secrecy has been cracked open. Look, the general rule is if you're a U.S. taxpayer, not a citizen, not necessarily only a citizen, a green card holder, a U.S. resident, if your tax obligations here in the U.S., if you have over $10,000 at any point in the year abroad outside the United States, you have to file a form called an FBAR, the Foreign Bank Account Report, FinCEN Form 114. That form is essentially an anti-money laundering, anti-tax evasion form.
It's really just done right with your tax return. You can do it that way, or
correct.
You can do it separately.
Or you can do it online with the BSA system online, the Bank Secrecy Act website. But the point is, it's just an informational report. You only have to notify the IRS, I have this account, wave the flag. Now, to the extent there's income associated with the account, of course, it should be reported on the U.S. tax return. You look at the Schedule B, the interest and dividend statement, the bottom of that schedule has very small questions there, but one of them is, do you have a foreign bank account? A lot of times, accountant software defaults to no or leaves the questions blank. But you need to take a real careful look at your tax returns if you have foreign bank accounts and determine whether or not you're in compliance. Because if you're not, the penalties are very draconian. Just to give a small example, if you have over $10,000 and you have an FBAR filing requirement, the statutory penalty for failing to file an FBAR, non-willful, is $10,000 per violation.
Non-willful. Willful?
$100,000 or 50% of the account, whichever is greater. So you can imagine it stacks up pretty quickly. And think about it, Drew. What does per violation mean? The government's position is per violation is per bank account. You have six bank accounts. That's $60,000 on a non-willful penalty. Multiply that by the 6-year statute of limitations that the government has. It starts to stack up real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very easy. So tell everyone how they, what's your website? That's probably the easiest way to find you guys, right?
Sure. It's www.frosttaxlaw.com.
Frosttaxlaw.com. Frost tax, like Jack Frost, the cold frost, you know. Law.com.
Correct.
Yep, exactly right. And, you know, feel free to give us a call anytime at 410-497-5947, and we'll see what we can help you out with your fact pattern.
You always say your phone number twice when you do it on the radio.
410-497-5947.
FrostTaxLaw.com.
You got it.
You got it.
And you guys are in Annapolis as your headquarters. But your lawyers are here. You're here right here in Pikesville, right?
Correct. I live right here in Pikesville.
You got a lawyer in Florida, and you do work all over the United States.
We have an office in Columbia, in Baltimore, in Washington, D.C., and Northern Virginia.
In Baltimore. Where do you have your office in Baltimore?
On Pratt Street.
On Pratt Street. Huh. Okay. FrostTaxLaw.com if you have a tax controversy. But right now, we got to go to a pause with traffic. We're going to be right back with our last quarter of the show. Talk more about some of the fascinating things the IRS is after and how to work your way through it with them. Anyway, we got to take a pause with traffic. We'll be right back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli, president of the Financial Consulate and host of Money, Riches, and Wealth. So often a radio listener calls me saying, I've been listening to you for years and have been meaning to call. When they come in for their comprehensive financial physical, they say, I wish I had done this years ago. If you've been meaning to call and meet with us, then do not wait. Call now to learn more about our trademark financial physical. The financial physical is designed to be a comprehensive second opinion analyzing all your goals and objectives. Are you maximizing tax efficiencies? Will you be able to maintain your lifestyle in retirement? Is your portfolio properly allocated? Are just a few of the many parts of the physical. The best part of our service is you get to see the final product before you decide if you want to pay for it. We do this to assure you we are not selling product, and we guarantee the physical to be truly beneficial. Do not wait any longer. Call 410-823-7283. That's 410-823-SAFE, or visit us online at financialphysical.com.
back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680.
All right, we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, and I'll stay batting 1,000 today. So I'm with Glenn Frost and Eli Knopf. We're here with we're talking tax controversies, and so you have guys that have situations where people owe money, and the IRS is going to actually try to throw them in jail.
Well, where you see that become a risk is when, A, you're not coming into compliance, so you continue to pyramid, and you continue to owe additional and not make estimated payments or pay the payroll tax. And B, the second criteria is really if you're hiding the ball from the IRS agent and you're not working with them. And
well, they obviously would be hiding it from you too also if they were doing that to the agent.
Correct. Sometimes it could be hidden from us potentially, but sometimes it'll happen before we're even involved. We do a fairly thorough look into a taxpayer's background and financial assets, so that doesn't happen. But if someone does do that, that is the second criteria that the government looks very badly upon, and they can refer somebody to criminal investigations for that.
They also look for high-profile people, right? They like to really find somebody who's not in compliance and seems to be slightly willful, and that's the one they really like to go after so the public gets to see it.
Yeah, the Department of Justice loves putting out press releases that they've indicted Wesley Snipes or you name
celebrities,
it.
Celebrities, in general, yeah. Definitely like to put those press releases out. Look, it gets them a lot of bang for their buck for enforcement.
Oh,
they're trying to do a lot more with a lot less these days.
I can't tell you how, the majority of my clients, you mention anything with the IRS, and they tremble. They literally, and I tried to tell them, look, the IRS isn't this mean, angry group that, they try to find $50 you owe and they come after you and take all your accounts and throw you in jail. That's not what they're about anymore.
No, for the most part, you work with the IRS agent, you build a good rapport, you're honest, you're trying to come into compliance, you're trying to figure out a resolution together. And that's the objective. It's not to be antagonistic. It's really to come to a resolution.
And you make a good point there, is that when you're trying to get a deal with the IRS, the first thing you got to do is start being in compliance.
If you're not in compliance, they will not set you up on an installment agreement, an offer and compromise. They won't even talk to you. They'll levy your bank accounts, and they'll file federal tax liens, and they'll do what they need to do to protect themselves and protect their interest.
Did you find that in this new tax law, when it was filed, so many people were under withheld? Did you find that you were getting a lot of referrals because of their, lack of money that they still owed?
Yes, we saw that with our existing clients, that they wound up owing a liability that they had to take care of so that they could maintain their installment agreement or maintain their offer and compromise. Another issue is with offer and compromises. If the taxpayer falls out of compliance within 5 years of acceptance, they can reinstate that original liability.
Wow. That's not good.
Yeah. In Maryland, we talked about the IRS and passport revocation. In Maryland, if you have a tax liability, they can take away your ability to renew your driver's license, similar to passport. So there are enforcement tools both at the federal and state level to bring someone to the table.
Well, that's... So what other things are you guys, one thing that we, have is the IRS is now turning their debt that is owed them to private collection agencies. And so, you got a lot of scammers out there calling people up saying, Eli, if you don't pay and call me back immediately, we will send you to prison immediately. We're sending officers over with guns to arrest you and throw you into prison.
Unless you pay me with iTunes gift cards immediately. Yeah, no, we see a lot of that. I mean, we get those calls as well. I like to play around with them a little bit. But, we see a lot of people that get that. They call.
But now there's legitimate debt collectors that the IRS is hiring. They don't call you on the phone, though.
Right. So they've been out there for a little while. Normally, the IRS will send you a letter and say, look, we've tried to collect from you, but we're understaffed, essentially. We're under-resourced. We're going to send this out to private debt collectors. And if you get a letter from either CBE Group, Conserve, Performant, or Pioneer, these are legitimate agencies that the government has farmed out the tax collections to. So you don't want to throw those letters away. That is real tax debt.
And they tend to be a lot more aggressive. Are there rules that they have to follow?
Sure, there are rules. There are debt collectors. So they are They do have to follow the rules of debt collection in general, Fair Debt Collection Practice Act. But what essentially, they don't have as much authority as the IRS directly, whereas the IRS can levy a bank account and take certain enforcement action of garnishments. You don't see that happen with these private debt collection agencies.
Now, if it goes to a private debt collection agency, are they able to make deals with you?
Yeah, there are parameters for making deals, but you can request that the case be sent back to the IRS to try to work out something within the IRS framework, such as an offer and compromise or some other negotiation or resolution.
So let's talk about crypto, cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin. You know, people have made a lot of money in Bitcoin. They think, you know, this is the easiest and you don't even have to pay taxes on it, Eli. Glenn, this is great.
Right. So what you see, you know, the government saw, you know, crypto, how they were valued fairly low many years ago. And then they took a big skyrocket and they flew up to, I think Bitcoin went up to 20,000.
20,000 from 700 Bitcoin. In less than a year and a half.
It was amazing. It was unbelievable. But the government saw an opportunity there. And certainly that's an area of noncompliance they were worried about, and tax evasion and money laundering.
That's because these cryptocurrency people aren't like brokerage firms, which, you know, if I make money on a stock in a brokerage firm, they send out a notice to me and the IRS saying, you made a lot of money on that stock.
Right.
Bitcoin's not doing that.
And the government's doing what they do. They're trying to sniff out noncompliance and bring people into compliance. And they issued a what's called a John Doe summons on Coinbase for information with respect to U.S. noncompliance, U.S. crypto investors. And they got information on about 13,000 clients. They've already began examining, auditing individuals who they got information on. They've already sent some of them or have been criminally referred and are being investigated by criminal investigations. And for the rest of the people, the government, look, they have a very limited amount of resources they have to do a lot with. They issued education letters to certain taxpayers, and now they have three different types of letters, 6173, 6174, and 6174A. They're three different types of letters that you're going to get if they have information that you've invested in crypto.
Right.
And one of them is essentially, look, we have information that's fairly significant. We know you have to do something and take action. We know there's income. You have 30 days to do so. You have to take that letter very seriously. The other letters are educational. We know something. We're not entirely sure what it is, but here's what you need to do. Here's some publications. Come into compliance. Taxpayers that don't, they continue to invest in crypto. They continue to not come into compliance, or they continue to fail to report this. Well, guess what? The IRS just sent you an education letter. You now can't say, I didn't know.
Right.
You're now willful. So I think that's something to be very mindful of.
So we only have about a minute less. I want to give our listeners a way to get in touch with you guys. It's thefrosttaxlaw.com, frosttaxlaw.com, right?
That's correct.
And you two are lawyers, not Lee. Well, you're a CPA also, but you're a lawyer,
Eli. We're actually both attorney CPAs, yeah.
You're both CPA attorneys. So, yeah. But as just a CPA like myself, I can only go up the ladder so far with the IRS and appeals. You guys can go all the way to tax court, and you can go to the district or the
federal district courts.
Federal district courts and the Supreme Court if it has to. You ever gone to the – you actually can't go to the Supreme Court, can you? You got to be licensed.
Yeah, we've gone to the Court of Appeals, not to the Supreme Court.
You know, you have to have a certain.
You do. You have to be licensed in every court.
Right. And you guys, any of you licensed in the Supreme Court? Well, can I see you one day up there?
I have not been licensed there yet.
Neither have I. Not yet. Maybe one day, Drew.
So tell us again how they get in touch with you. What's the easiest way?
Sure. www.frosttaxlaw.com is our website. Our phone number is 410-497-5947. Again, 410-497-5947. Please call anytime.
Yeah. And dealing with the IRS can be really easy if you do it right.
Correct. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, look, it's again, drawing a line in the sand, coming into compliance, doing the right thing, working with the IRS.
And they'll usually make a good deal with you that's beneficial to everyone, the taxpayer and the government.
And if they don't, we'll go to appeals and, you know, we'll push forward and onwards until we get a good deal.
And our slogan is every tax problem has a solution. So we'll find one for you.
Always a great show, and it removes too fast when I have good guests. Anyway, this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.
things are gonna be much better.